evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working from home on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, March 17, 2021. The United Nations says 6.6 million people in South Sudan are facing food insecurity.
We have three major goals. The first is to make sure we save lives and to protect people who are in need of protection.
And local authorities and church leaders in Kajukeji County encourage South Sudanese refugees to return home.
As such, what we embark on is to prepare the ground on organizing peace and confidence building among the people.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The United Nations Humanitarian Coordinator in South Sudan has released an urgent appeal for $1.7 billion to help 6.6 million people facing food insecurity. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino reports from Juba.
The UN released its South Sudan Humanitarian Response Plan for 2021 Tuesday with an urgent appeal for $1.7 billion to combat growing food insecurity and other threats. The UN's humanitarian coordinator in South Sudan, Alain Nodeho, said the funds were needed to help 6.6 million people by the end of the year.
We have three major goals. The first is to make sure we save lives and to protect people who are in need of protection. The second one is you need to make sure that we have access to services such as water and sanitation and health so people do not really become sick from other diseases. And the third is, as I said, we have to start to look at how we help the people to try to recover from what they were with investment in livelihood going forward.
Nodeho noted South Sudan, Africa's youngest country and one of its poorest, has been struggling with communal conflicts, the added challenges of the COVID-19 pandemic and frequent flooding.
In addition to the COVID-19, you'll recall that 2020 was a year of another massive flooding that the country has experienced, displacing about a million people in 2020. And that was in addition to the flooding that the country has faced in 2019. We're barely recovering from that when the second flooding started. And third, you will recall that the intercommunal conflicts also have basically spiraled a little bit out of control during the year 2020.
Nodeho said they would prepare for the coming rainy season by fixing dikes and roads and moving emergency supplies into places to avoid being cut off by floods. He said South Sudan's government needed to prioritize security to make sure that people who need assistance can receive it. Nodeho said if humanitarian agencies don't get the funding in a timely manner, their remaining resources may soon be depleted. Separately, the UN Refugee Agency, or UNHCR, on Tuesday appealed for $1.2 billion to support 2.2 million South Sudanese refugees living in camps in neighboring countries. Winnie Sirino for VOA News, Juba.
Local authorities and church leaders in Central Equatorial State's Kajukeji County say they are improving conditions for refugees returning from neighboring countries to Kajukeji County. The county commissioner says his office is working with NGOs to provide social services including health, clean drinking water and education. For VOA News, Daniel Friday Martin reports from Yei.
Hundreds of thousands of people fled their homes in Kajukeji County and sought refuge in camps in neighboring northern Uganda due to insecurity and human rights abuses when conflict spread to the area in 2016. After the unity government was formed, thousands of refugees have voluntarily returned to resettle in their villages. Bishop Emmanuel Mure of Kajukeji Diocese of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan says the church is organizing meetings between locals and organized forces to create a safe environment for returning refugees.
As such, what we embark on is to prepare the ground on organizing peace and confidence building among the people. And we do meet with the security agencies around here, the army, the police. And here in Kajukeji, there is free movement now. You can travel even up to late hours in the night.
Kajukeji County Commissioner Eresto Kenyi says local officials are also working with security agencies to improve security to encourage refugees return home.
We have discussed on how
normalize the security. Now we have agreed to have meetings with the cattle keepers around Kajukeji and reminding them about their return back to where they come from or out from the farms of the people so that the return of the people will be safe without any fear. To my people of Kajukeji, the peace is real and we are maintaining the security. People should return back to their original places. Secondly, people should unite and reconcile.
Kenyi says NGOs are working with county officials to provide health care, clean water and other services to help refugees resettle.
Remind the NGOs and the state government on the issue of service delivery, more especially the medical services and then the schools, water and others. So these are things that we put forward and we are going to plan together and make sure that we put it right as people may be coming back.
Chaplain Anyik, a youth leader in Kajukeji County, says young people have been organizing sports matches, concerts and other events to restore hope and build confidence between the returnees, the military and residents who stayed throughout the conflict.
We bring them together for sport. They will be able to, you know, look at themselves as friends, as people protect them, and that is actually one of our plans that we want to use for to improve the military civil relations. We are able to conduct another of these contacts, music for peace. We want to fit Kajukeji back to its original state.
Moses Wane returned to his village in Kajukeji County from the Bidibidi settlement camp in Uganda about 2 weeks ago. Wane says he left the refugee camp because of smaller food rations. He says now that he has returned home, he plans to produce his own food to feed his family.
I decided to return home to settle and cultivate enough food back home, and I urge the government to implement a peace deal, and I equally call on the humanitarian partners to help us with shelters and farm tools for us to start our livelihoods here.
Local officials, church leaders and some of the returnees are calling on the parties to the peace deal to fully implement the security arrangements, including the deployment of unified forces so that refugees can feel safe as they return home. For VOA News, I am Daniel Friday Martin in Yei Town.
From Yei, we move to Jonglei State, where activists and some residents in the Jonglei State capital, Bor, are criticizing the state governor for accommodating some state government officials in hotels. The Jonglei Civil Society Network says the move is a waste of resources. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
David Garan, an activist with the Bor-based Jonglei Civil Society Network, says he is disappointed to see Governor Chagur accommodating state officials in high-priced hotels. He says Chagur should be using the money in state to build a permanent dike around the town to prevent more flooding.
We don't know whether the services are going to be given as the citizen needed, because the amount of money that is always being paid on the hotel accommodation, it's always very big compared to what the government spend on the services of the citizen. So if the government is really concerning about the citizen and they want to work for the citizen, for the welfare of the citizen in the state, then I wish them they should come out. So they have their own houses here in the state. They have been here and they are kind of this state. There's no one who can say I don't have my house here, or I'm not the son of Jonglei State.
Last week, most Jonglei State officials were transported from Juba to Bor using several chartered flights and convoys to be sworn in. Garang says he witnessed new ministers, advisers and top military officers all staying at Bor's most expensive hotels. He calls it a waste of resources at a time when tens of thousands of state residents still do not have proper shelter or enough food following the 2020 floods.
The priority is to put the dike, is to put the permanent dike. That's why we have been crying upon and we have been calling the government to put the dike. If the dike is put there, is constructed, then everything will be okay.
Instead of depleting government funds on paying for locals' hotels, Garang says officials should deliver services to the suffering communities of Jonglei State. Nearly 80,000 people were displaced in Jonglei and Upper Nile by flash floods, which began in November 2019 and gradually increased through January and February 2020, according to humanitarian agencies. Bor resident Samuel Agul says he is concerned about the luxurious lifestyle of new government officials when citizens are suffering.
Government always is deceiving people that is lacking income, is lacking resources. But where do government get the money that they use to accommodate the officials in the hotels? So I can see this is the game of hide and seek. Government is not really responsible for the whole society. It's only their interests. That is what I have seen.
Gadwich Kok, the spokesman for Governor Chagur, admits the government is paying for a state official to stay at hotels, saying most of them do not have homes in Bor Town.
On behalf of the government, I would like to say that not everybody has a home in Jonglei. This is the revitalized peace agreement that comprises of different parties. Jonglei is bigger. Now there are other people from Bier, from Akobo, from different part of Jonglei State. Those people don't even have houses here in Jonglei.
Kok says Chagur is doing his best to make sure that the dike around Bo Town is repaired as soon as possible.
Government is very concerned. But, you know, government is a government of people. And we cannot run the government in Juba. That's the reason we have to invite all these people come to the capital. We are committed as a government to mobilize the local resources to make sure the dike is repaired. For example, now we have engaged the UNDP, the IOM, the World Food Program, and other agencies to work on the dike. But this is not a full construction, but just to repair the dike.
Kok says repairing the dike is the government's first priority. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Bor.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, residents of Magui County in Eastern Equatorial State are calling on the national government to repair roads. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
When you make a mistake, do you admit it or just move on and try not to do it again?
When I realize that I've done something wrong, but of course I have to make sure that I make a correction out of what I have done. Because sometimes there are things we do them and afterwards you learn from them as such.
It depends on the mistake, but most of the time I tend to realize my mistakes, and where it is necessary, I apologize. Why should I keep on moving when I've made a mistake? I've made a mistake, I have to apologize.
When I've done something wrong, I do admit. At the same time, I choose to move forward with my life.
Well, it is hard to admit mistakes, so yeah, usually the first option is to move on and try not to do it again. I think that's my first go-to option.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Some residents of Magui County in Eastern Equatorial State are calling on the national government and the South Sudan People's Defense Force to repair a road leading to Owinki Ball Military Training School. The residents say big military trucks have damaged the road, making it difficult to do business and access health services. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino reports from Juba.
Arcangelo Langoya, a traditional chief of Katire Ayomboma, sees large military trucks frequently rumble down the Abara Owinkibu Road and have broken all of the road's bridges to the extent that smaller vehicles are unable to use the road. Langaya says his community gave the government free space to accommodate the soldiers undergoing military training, so the government should at least repair the road to handle the capacity of military trucks using it.
There are several military trucks that use this road, and when we say the road should be made, the soldiers say the road is for the government and for the security. If it is for the security, this road goes to them, to the barracks. What of the indigenous? How shall we survive? These big trucks spoil the road and the bridges. Now all the bridges are broken.
Miriam Aol, a resident of Katire Ayom, sees the military trucks usually deliver food for the soldiers at the military training school. Aol says the trucks at times get stuck on the road, especially when it rains. She says they can remain there for days, making it difficult for farmers to transport their produce to markets in Juba.
Other people take their goods to Juba, but we women from Katire Ayom, we don't take our goods because vehicles do not come here. When you tell a driver that I am in Katire Ayom, he says, I cannot come. My vehicle will break down. When you farm and harvest, your foodstuff rots in the house. We can't find a way to take things like other women.
Moriko Agnes, a women rights activist in Katere Ayom, says the bad road also makes it difficult for residents to access health services.
There is no hospital, so when you are pregnant and in labor pain and need to deliver, there is no ambulance. There is no car that can come over because of the road. So if your husband does not struggle to push you with a wheelbarrow, you suffer and you die.
Simon Mijak, the National Minister for Roads and Bridges, says one lawmaker from Magui County once raised the concern of the Winchkebo Road. Mijak says the ministry had plans to repair the road, but things didn't go well after conflict broke out in 2013, and now the government is facing a shortage of funding for such projects.
The road you have just mentioned, Winchkebo, was in our plan in 2012-2013, but it was not implemented. We have discussed with the army because they had a number of trucks going there to the training center. Okay. So what I can say, we have plans, but we have issues of funding. The plan B was that we use the army equipment from engineering corp, and my engineers plus the local authority in terms of construction material.
Deputy SSPDF spokesperson Colonel Santo Domich says this is his first time he's hearing about the problem from the community, but says he will raise the issue with the appropriate authorities.
We will try to bring to the attention of the higher echelon of the military so that the engineering corps of the SSPDF may be directed at least to rehabilitate those roads so that it has a capacity able to withstand the movement and the influx of those heavy trucks.
Mijok says plans are in the works for Eastern Equatoria State to build a new road from Juba to Torit and to the Kenyan border from Nimule to Juba. For VOA News, I am Winnie Sereno in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Cameroon, where authorities in Cameroon say the corona pandemic has led to a spike in excessive drinking and in deaths from fake alcohol. Consumer group protested on Tuesday, saying authorities need to do more to crack down on counterfeit alcohol and medicine. For VOA News, Moki Edwin Kinzika reports from Yaoundé.
Hundreds of people came out on Monday to watch the seizure of what authorities allege are fake whiskies from Elik Ezwa market in Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé. Officials of the Cameroon's Ministry of Trade, Customs and the police were cracking down on fake alcohol to mark World Consumer Rights Day. Pauline Bilwa is member of the Cameroon National Consumers Council, the government's consumer protection body. She says thousands of fake alcoholic drinks have been seized from at least 200 shops and 350 bars across Cameroon within the past month.
Depuis que le COVID-19 a commencé au Cameroun, beaucoup de gens sont devenus pauvres.
She says since the first cases of COVID-19 were reported in Cameroon in March 2020, many people have lost their jobs and are now extremely poor. Consumers who can no longer afford to buy good quality whiskies now purchase fake locally brewed alcoholic drinks, which are dangerous to health, she says. Many people have developed liver problems and died from consuming fake whiskies, she added. Meanwhile, several dozen people took part in a protest Tuesday against the sale of fake and counterfeit goods. Delo Madeleine Kamse Kamgen is president of Cameroon's National Consumers League. He says he organized the protest because the government is still not doing enough to protect consumers.
Les consommateurs achètent ce qu'ils voient et ce qui est moins cher. Donc, du coup, ils consomment.
He says poverty caused by the coronavirus is pushing most Cameroonians to go out for cheap products. Kamgain says, unfortunately for consumers, the government has allowed fake and counterfeit products, including medicines and whiskies, that are highly consumed in Cameroon to be sold publicly. He says all that a consumer organization like his can do is to educate and sensitize people on the risk civilians are exposed to when they consume goods of doubtful origin. Cameroon's Medical Council says about 3/4 of the 7,500 deaths from liver problems in Cameroon in 2020 were due to the consumption of fake alcohol. The police said some products are made from pure ethanol or with alcohol, bought or stolen from pharmacies and hospitals. Fake drugs are another problem. The government said about 380 people died of fake drugs in Cameroon in 2020, up from 223 in 2019. The government said the true numbers are probably higher because fewer than 30% of civilians visit hospitals. Trade Minister Luke Magwambalga Atangana says he has ordered a crackdown on all the fake drugs and alcohol. He says he has ordered investigations on the origin of all fake drugs and whiskies circulating in Cameroon. He says he has asked the police to immediately seize all fake goods in the market. He says customs officers have been asked to protect the border so that fake goods should not be smuggled into Cameroon. Atangana said Cameroonians should report people suspected of producing or selling fake goods to the nearest police station. Moki Edwin Kinzaka for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Europe's medical regulator, the European Medicine Agency, says it will announce Thursday its findings on the safety of AstraZeneca's coronavirus vaccine as more European Union countries suspend its use over fears it might be linked to blood clots. Critics say governments are putting politics over science. For VOA News, Lisa Bryant has more from Paris.
The European Medicines Agency's executive director, Emer Cook, says for now the regulator stands behind its conclusion the AstraZeneca vaccine is safe, even as its experts conduct a thorough safety review. The AstraZeneca vaccine has been injected into millions of arms, with just a few reported cases of blood clots, and it's uncertain if they're linked to the shot.
We need to have the facts first. We cannot come to a conclusion until we've done a thorough scientific analysis, and we owe it to the European citizens to deliver this clear and science-based response.
The Medicines Agency, or EMA, has also tapped international experts for its review, which will also look at whether certain specific batches could be problematic. Scientists will also look at chances of blood clots with other COVID-19 vaccines beyond AstraZeneca's.
At present, there is no indication that vaccination has caused these conditions. They have not come up in the clinical trials and are not listed as known or expected side events with this vaccine.
But increasingly, European Union governments are taking no chances. Sweden and Latvia are among the latest to join more than a dozen EU countries to temporarily halt their AstraZeneca rollouts. Here in France, which suspended the shot Monday, Health Minister Olivier Véran said he hoped the AstraZeneca vaccine campaign will quickly resume, pending a positive EMA ruling. Véran himself received the AstraZeneca inoculation, and he told French citizens who have done likewise not to worry. The World Health Organization also recommends AstraZeneca, pending evidence to the contrary. Dozens of countries have authorized its use, although the United States has yet to do so. And AstraZeneca still has EU champions. Belgium, for example, argues suspending the vaccine's rollout would be irresponsible.
Ça va pas simplifier la vie des médecins généralistes.
That's also the view of many French medical experts. Dr. Jean-Pierre Hameau, honorary president of the French Doctors Federation, told French TV the decision to suspend the vaccine's use reflected political rather than medical considerations.
National governments are afraid of safety concerns, but at the same time, I'm not convinced that this is the right way to go about it.
Simona Guagliardo is an analyst at the Brussels-based European Policy Center.
I wonder what could be the damage. I mean, in the public opinion, people are already scared, and I'm afraid that this might scare them off even more.
The vaccine suspensions couldn't come at a worse time for the EU, with some member states hit by a third wave of the pandemic. While acknowledging mistakes, EU officials also blame some of the problems on production delays by AstraZeneca itself. Lisa Bryant for VOA News, Paris.
That's all we have for you today. We'd love to hear what you think about this show. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. We now take you into the heart of the Acholi land with the song Susanna. I'm John Tanz in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your vehicles, phones, and homes. Remember to always wash your hands with soap. Practice social distancing and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others against COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Joy for you, joy for you, joy for you, joy for you, joy for you. Don't push.